So how I'm wanting to actually start the show will be mostly looking back at your past, and then we'll get to strip search stuff later on.
My dark past, of course.
Your dark, dark past.
So dark.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. I'm Fess of so many things. But this week, a special interview with Abby Howard, of who had appeared on Strip Search. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And that's all I got. It's just a one-on-one this week for this particular episode, but that's all we need. So, Abby, first off,
yes.
Congratulations on getting so far into Strip Search. It was a really amazing thing for me to watch, even though I came in late.
It was an amazing thing for me to do, because that was very unexpected.
Yeah.
Even then I made second place. Tears, but I think I'm going to do okay. The exposure was insane. So many people like me now.
Yeah, so many more people know about you now.
Yeah, it's great.
So we'll talk.
Before, I really did not have fans.
No.
Sometimes I get emails from people who are just like, "Oh man, I'm sorry I hadn't heard of you before Strip Search." I'm just like, "Haha, you don't know," but no one had. I have like 36 comics on the internet.
All right, and we will talk a little bit more about Strip Search later on, but what we're going to do is we're going to talk about before Strip Search. But you have a comic that's called Junior Scientist Power Up at JS Power, Junior Scientist Power Hour at jspowerhour.com. So tell us a little bit about this comic.
Well, first I'll tell you about a comic I did a couple of years ago.
Oh.
That sort of made this comic happen. So freshman year of university, my mom and other people were just like, "Abby, you should draw a comic so I know what you're doing in your life," because I've always done comics, and so I did. And then I met this guy who really liked my comics, and then when I stopped doing my comics, he was just like, "You know, I'll make you a website if you just keep doing comics forever." So he made me a website, and I put comics on it, and that's why Junior Scientist Power Hour started.
So were you just making just comics for your mom, or were you doing this on like DeviantArt or somewhere? Or?
It was on Blogspot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still on the internet.
Yeah. I asked you earlier if there was another link to something. So are you trying to hide this?
Yes. Why would I want people to go there?
All right. So people get out there and look for it now.
Look. I'm sure you could just ask anyone. I tweeted about it one time a long time ago. Someone can go delve into my thousands of tweets and try to find it if they're really that dedicated.
And let's see here. So that now you're doing this particular comic, and it's kind of slice of life as well as delving into your psyche, I suppose.
It is an Abby Howard comic. It's about me. And it's by me. Mm. And I guess that's the only way I really describe it. Sometimes I'm just like, it's an autobiocomic, but it really isn't. It's humor comics. It's funny time. That's what it is. It's funny time comics.
I picture a lot of it being sort of stuff you daydream about and then
pretty
just
much.
Kind of coming into reality.
Because I don't leave the house much anymore, especially. It's just like... just conversations I have with myself. I want Ceiling Abby to come back. Ceiling Abby debuted in the Pizza Deans comic.
Okay.
There needs to be more Ceiling Abby because I talk to myself sometimes, you know, in my head with the astral projection of myself that comes down from the ceiling, you know, like you do.
Right. And one of the things to note is that you were pretty much effectively the only person that was really doing during the Strip Search challenges, everything in physical media. And I'm assuming that's basically how you're, aside from scanning, that's the majority of your comic work that's showing online.
Indeed. I put stuff together using GIMP and stuff, because I didn't have Photoshop, because I didn't want to bother with it, and GIMP was doing okay. But now that I've done color stuff, I'm moving into Photoshop. But yeah, so I really just don't work in digital at all. Partly because I don't understand it, partly because I don't have any money. And now I think I'm like, he's doing more traditional because people think it's interesting. I'm just like, well, okay then. You guys think so. I'll just keep doing this forever. I mean, I'll try more digital stuff, especially with coloring, because it just looks shitty when you scan it in coloring.
Right. And the coloring, like, the coloring was something else I wanted to bring up, because there are a few of your comics on JS Power Hour that that have a bit of color to this. Now, was this, is this mouse coloring?
Yes. I use a trackpad. No, it's not even a mouse. It's a trackpad.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've actually gotten quite proficient at it.
Really? I mean,
it still takes me much longer than it should, but my fingers are crazy on that trackpad.
Yeah, there was one where you have color sequences in which it's like these crazy musician alien things coming in.
Let me tell you about Tupper Remix Party.
Okay.
So, in case you haven't scrolled down to the script description on any of those, that's a real band.
Oh, really?
They exist. Yep, in real life. I'm friends with them. They're adorable. They live in Toronto. Their name is Tupper Remix Party or Twerp, and I love them. Like, the first comic with them in it, which was actually one of the first colored things I'd ever done on the computer, was I ran into them on a street corner with my friends, and we were just like, the fuck is this? Just a bunch of crazy dressed up people playing music on a street corner at like midnight with this huge crowd around them, because it was incredible. And they handed me their little card, and then I like, drew that comic and sent it to them, and they were just like, oh my God, we love you. Do more comics for us. And so they paid me to document their story of their EP, The Device, using all these comics. It's not quite finished yet, because I happened to become famous after like the second half. So now I'm suddenly swamped with trying to make a career out of this, but it's going to be finished within the next couple of months.
Awesome.
Sure. I have to finish it before I start on my newest project.
Right.
I love it, yes.
Got to work on those prior commitments.
Indeed.
Now, when I had seen this, one of the immediate things that came to my mind, and I'm going to post you a link to an IMDb page of Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which is this 1984 movie where these aliens are flying around in, I think, a V-neck guitar spaceship in search of rock and roll. It's a terrible movie, but it's awesome at the same time.
I'm going to send it to those guys. They love that.
Might be something I would recommend people to check out if they could find it. Crazy fun. It seems like something you would probably end up like if you like the ridiculous a bit.
I will find that, and I will love it.
All right. And so, a little bit about your artistic background. Have you always been poised to be an artist, or was this something you kind of came into later in life, during high school or after high school, or?
I definitely wanted to be a cartoonist forever. Like, I didn't want to do, like, big paintings for people all the time. I always kind of wanted to tell stories. So I like comics more than art. But comics, good time. In high school, I went to, like, an arts-oriented high school. I went to, like, Governor's School for Art. So I've always been geared towards art. It was actually kind of science that was a departure for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In undergrad, I went into sciences because in high school, I was really good at science. And then all my art teachers thought I was kind of mediocre. Well,
well, that's the thing about art. It can be so many different things. I know. I remember back when like 6-7 years ago when I've always been an artist myself, drawing this and that. And then I discovered web comics. Ooh. And there were plenty of comics out there that I saw, which, you know, a lot of artists are like self-depreciating. Oh, my work sucks, but whatever. And it's like I look at that and it's like, I want to do that too. See, look at how awesome and fun this is. And while your art isn't like this highly like realistic looking stuff, it's loose, it's fun. It still has a great quality to it, and the writing incredibly helps. It all goes together. A lot of people discount the writing part of art making and comic making, but it's like you bring it all together.
Yeah, my teachers in high school were not fans of sequential arts, or definitely not cartoons at all. If you do something cartoony, they're just like, that's not art. And they give you an F. At least one of them. I guess the other one just kind of didn't care. But,
yeah.
And I am capable of other stuff. Like, if you look on my Tumblr, there's a few things I've posted a long time ago, I guess. Like, this piece of a nightingale and a rose. And it's, you know, I can do realistic stuff, too. And actually, before my comic, like, a couple years ago, I guess, I was doing illustration for a textbook, Vertebrate Evolution textbook.
Oh, very so, cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. I was sad when I had to quit that job.
The one thing I thought was, well, it was really interesting jumping up to Strip Search for a little bit, because you had like the stand up that you were supposed to draw, and you didn't really think that they were going to actually print out this giant stand up.
Yep.
And it was kind of weird. Let me restart. Have you actually gone back and watched the whole series when you had the chance?
Not the whole series at once, but I have seen every episode because I had to watch it when it came out. I just had to know.
Right, right.
Plus, I didn't remember most of it.
Oh, well, it's like the part is like I was kind of like they were kind of bad mouthing your stand up a little bit, and it was like, you know, she's gonna eventually see this.
Yeah, like in the third elimination challenge, I actually loved that. I was just like, my story is gonna be awesome. Because I start out like this. I start out at the bottom. People hate me. They want me off the show. And then suddenly, bam, I have so many fans. It's just
right.
People were turned around all the way. It's great. It makes me feel awesome.
Yeah, the biggest part of that was like they're sort of like dogging your based on just your poster. About is like, oh, why do we have to send both of these, send this person home? It's like, why don't we send Abby home? Look at this thing. And then they actually get you in there and they look at your art and it's like, wow. It's like, that had to be a pretty good high for you when you saw that.
God, yes. The second elimination that I was in was probably my favorite, just because it was so, they just loved me so much at that point. It was awesome.
And, let's see here. I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit. I think we're gonna take one real quick break, and we'll be right back.
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, let's just to jump into a little bit of Strip Search questions.
Right.
Which I'm sure you'll get plenty of questions of and possibly answered elsewhere. But hopefully I ask other weird questions, such as in the opening sequence. I really like the title sequence. Everyone seems to look like they're like sliding into frame. Like, were you like
on a comfortable?
Was it like a little cart?
Yeah, the camera was on like a little, I don't know how to describe it, like a little slidey thing.
Okay.
You know, I don't know camera terms, but it was on a slidey thing.
On a slidey thing.
It was sliding towards us.
Okay. And I got to ask.
I had to sit there for like 2 minutes staring into space, making a face.
Yes, you were making a face, or at least you look like you're trying to hold back laughing at something. It's kind of like your tight, straight-lipped. I was just wondering if you were actually holding back, laughing a little bit, because you seem to do that like a little bit on the show, like you got a smirk about something, but you're trying to play it cool. I don't know what that was, but
sometimes I make faces when I don't know what else to do. The one in the title sequence was definitely that. I was just like, the fuck do I do? I can't just, like, sit here and make a no face. I gotta do something, and it's gonna be stupid looking.
Yeah.
So I just made some dumb face, and I was like, ugh, get it over with. Another one was, like, straight-faced, had one, like, they did a few shots, so I didn't know which one they're gonna use, and they just happened to use whatever I was making a face.
And, I remember Strip Search was coming out, and this, you know, I don't really watch Penny Arcade or follow Penny Arcade too much. It just wasn't my thing. There's a lot of comics out there to read. You can't read them all. But so the only person I knew on the show was Erica, because we've actually had her on an episode in the past. So it's like, I have no idea who these people are. And so I was like automatically rooting for Erica because I knew of her. So, but, as the show was going on, I was actually rooting for you, because it's like, your banter, your sass, your character of you was like, man, she could have this, you know, in the bag. Cause it's like, you were really making them laugh a lot. And that was pretty fun watching you crank out all of this art in a short amount of time. It's like, hey, do a strip, and you do like several strips sort of thing. It was pretty incredible to see how fast you are as an artist like that.
Well, thank you. I just hope, yeah, I guess I am pretty fast. I didn't really know that before. Sometimes I think I'm too fast though, and that's like, it takes away from how good my art could be, because I just want to get it over with.
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah, but you also have the patience to do like a little bit of hatching here and there.
Indeed.
Whenever I try it, I start good, and then by like one corner, and then the other corner, it's like huge, big, swathy. You know, it's like, get it over with. But, so you have some patience there.
Yeah. With lines, I have a lot of patience. With colors, I'm just like, just put the color there and just
bucket fill.
Like, I don't want to do shading. Fuck that. I have no patience for color whatsoever.
Oh, I love coloring. Going back on the coloring. One thing I did discover, I mean, it's like, I go to conventions and I talk to people about how to get into web comics and what to do, what not to do, as far as, cause a lot of people just think, oh, I'll get a Cintiq and it'll be awesome at whatever. No, they're all tools you need to master. And the only exception I have is if you're going to color digitally, a tablet is wondrous compared to like using a mouse, even if it's just a regular
trackpad.
Yeah, or trackpad, just like a regular blank, you know, even a bamboo, just I it's the coloring, because you don't need to be exactly precise as like line art. It's something amazing. So even if you just use like a cheapo tablet, it's incredible of how free you feel when you're coloring, and then you're kind of like, I'm gonna do some shading. Yeah, this feels good. So
yeah, I have a feeling that when I finally do, like, I did reach the Cintiq stretch goal. So I will be getting one, and then I can finally color like a real person, and then maybe I'll finally be able to color good, like, instead of normal. I don't know. words. I'll be able to color good with a Cintiq. It's gonna be fun.
It is a fantastic experience using the Cintiq. I got the smaller one, and it's I still have trouble like trying to do inking so much. I mostly use it for coloring, but it still takes a little bit of time to figure out. But yeah, I think you'll be really happy with it.
I'm not going to ink traditionally still.
Well, that's good,
because it's just, I like the way it looks more.
Right.
It's what I've always done.
I'm
afraid of change.
With me, whenever I do like pencil drawings, it's like I never want to ink it, because it never looks as good inked. You know, it's like almost every little step, you can't get every little thing. So if you feel it works right, it's like, that's what I'm all for. Nobody should be forced or feel like they have to do it digitally completely or anything like that. It's because it can change the total quality of it or the feel of it. So it's like totally behind that. There is, let's see here. I did want to ask a little bit about the whole reality show in and of itself. What were your thoughts about going into it? Did you think that the show is going to be like any particular existing reality show, or you just whatever for this?
I don't really watch a whole lot of reality shows, so what I'd seen was manipulation. What I'd read was like a bunch of crazy shit that they did to people on the show. So I went into it expecting it to be like the end of my career before it even started. Just like everybody would blacklist me after this. It was probably going to suck. But I, you know, going into it, I had that feeling just because I didn't want to be disappointed if that did happen. But I did kind of think it was at least going to be really interesting and I could go home with a bunch of money. Yep. So I was just the whole time, especially near the end where I was actually so close to it, I was just like, I could actually win this thing and it would be awesome and everybody would love me. Because people do love us. Like, the reaction to this has been so much better than I even thought it could be at its best. I still thought there would be so many people who were just like, this is wrong, this is gross, everything's bad. And there would at least be some person in the house who I really hated. Yeah, and of course, I was such a young artist. I'm just like, there's no way I can hold my own against these people in this house. Knowing I was the youngest going into it, I was like, well. And then after the first competition where I almost went to the elimination stage that night, that would have been awful. I would have come back if I was like versus Alex, but I'm not sure I would have been versus Katie as, you know, how this all ended up. So,
especially since she also made it to the end too, which was amazing in and of itself. I totally lost what I was going to ask. So you okay, I'm going to have to keep a note and know that I screwed up in my thoughts.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, I remember. On the Webcomic Beacon, we've been doing a couple of episodes in which we were looking at the series and then basically commenting on it. We're going to be recording the second part of that today. And I had brought up that I was really hoping that the show was going to be like Face Off, the makeup artist's reality competition show.
Watched that one. That one's so fun.
It is, because it's like no one's like vicious at each other and everyone's like, oh, you need some help with that? Well, over here. It's like, that's how creatives really are. They're not backstabbing or anything. And that's what I was really glad to see with Strip Search. There weren't like phony alliances happening to just, you know, manipulate. You know, the real point was, you know, step it up as artists, as creators. I really appreciated that, though I wish I did see a little bit more like stuff around the house, you know, people chatting with each other and drawing whatever they want, you know, not just the elimination stuff.
DVD. I'm sure they're gonna put all that stuff on a DVD.
Yeah. Was there a, so if I could ask, what was it sort of like that wasn't recorded? Was it just kind of like chilling with your bros, or was it still kind of, I gotta kind of get to know these people, or what was it like?
At first it was, let's get to know each other. And then it was very much chilling with my bros, except also with that constant fear and dread of who's going up, who's going to win, what's going to happen. Are all of us going to die today? You know, that sort of thing. We never knew. And they were driving us places. It was always just like, we don't know where we're going. What are we going to do today? It's going to be awful, probably. I mean, everything was so much fun with these people, though. Like, I'm probably going to wind up moving to Seattle. A lot of them have moved to Seattle. I'm going to go hang out with these people forever. It's pretty much, we're best friends for life forever.
Awesome.
What just happened there in that house. Because of us just, there was some downtime in between eliminations when we had to do exit interviews and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those were grueling. Because, I mean, all you guys get to see is, like, little snippets of us talking. Yeah, all of that had to happen, like, right after the challenge. They'd just line us up in the hallway, and we had to be quiet. We couldn't talk at all. And then they would just take us in one by one and do interviews, and that would take, like, an hour, two hours. Fun times.
Yeah, that's I can imagine there's a lot of this sort of, because you're on stage, you are making a show sort of thing. But how many days and nights did the whole thing actually take? Because it seems like you guys at least got together in some hotel and you kind of had like a day before actually getting to the house.
I was the last person who got there.
Okay.
To the hotel, and it was the night before. It was like 9:30 the night before. And then the next morning at 7, we all had to wake up and go to the house.
And you basically couldn't leave the hotel room. You kind of just had to stay in there and not see anybody else because they had to blindfold you guys.
We could leave the hotel like the other people could, like during the day to go leave and like eat food and stuff. Oh, okay. But of course, we didn't know each other. So, but we apparently the other people would like get in the elevator and look around at the people and be like, which one of these? What if it's one of these people? And that sort of thing.
It's kind of like Fight Club. You're all kind of like, you can't say anything. You're kind of just...
Exactly. You can't just be like, hey, are you on strip search? Are you going to be one of the... Anyway. So then all the eliminated people got to go back to the hotel because it was 2 weeks of filming and they had to stay there for the 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, nobody actually went home. They went back to the hotel.
That's
interesting. And had to stay until the end of the 2 weeks. So they all had fun in the afterlife. They all got to go out and eat food and be stress-free, except for the night they all got home. When each of them got home, of course, there was that whole, I'm going to go back up into my room and just fucking cry. But after Nick and Matt got eliminated, like, Nick is amazing. He is a strip search mom. He is awesome. Because he would do this thing where he'd get everybody down to the lobby and they'd wait out for the person who was coming back from the elimination that night. Mm-hmm. And they'd all just sit there with Robert Koo and just console the person and talk.
Oh.
So these people are amazing. And they'd all have fun together and go do stuff like get the strip search tattoo, which me and the other finalists kind of missed out on.
Oh, wow.
But it's a stretch goal. Somebody hit that, please, because that's also the let me move to Seattle stretch goal. So I'll move to Seattle and get the strip search tattoo. It'll be great.
Yes. So let's go ahead and jump over to talk about your Kickstarter, The Last Halloween. Go ahead and tell us about this project.
Well, The Last Halloween is a story about a little girl who has to fight a bunch of monsters because monsters are taking over the world on Halloween. So she's got to fight them because, yeah. I guess that's it, really.
That's it. Okay.
It's going to be really fun. I'm very excited about it. And I hit my goal in 17 minutes. So it's funded, pretty much.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mid-October. It airs mid-October.
You had a $9,000 goal. And as of today, it looks like it's almost going to hit $61,000. $20 more, yep, according to this. That's amazing. And
it's about to hit 61,000.
Yeah, 60. Just
like in the next few minutes, and then it just keeps going up. It just keeps going up and up. Maybe I'll hit 75K soon, which means I get to do the horror film of Creepy Painting, which is awesome because somebody emailed me and was just like, "Hey, I do movies. I'll help you." And it's like, "What? Okay, so that's awesome." And then I get to do the strip search tattoo, and then other mysteries.
Yeah,
there's another one I have to announce today.
There is the 60,000 goal was a Tupperware remix party print for all the backers above $60. And before that is the Crank Up the C, Crank Up the D t-shirt for backers at 75 up. This was something that came up in the strip search thing. You apparently had even forgot it at the final the finale, basically. You kind of forget, but it's like, yeah, people have to remember that there was 2 months
in between those. Yeah, everybody like is so. It wasn't even 2 months; it was 5 months.
It was 5 months.
Yeah,
oh, I thought they said two.
It was a long time. That was a very long, very painful time that I could not talk about anything.
I know, and I was, and I'm watching this, like, whoa, that's how I. I probably could not say anything, but still, it just eating at you.
God, it killed me. It was awful. I hate keeping secrets. It was so bad.
I
had to keep so many secrets. I just stayed in my house all the time and didn't leave. But I forgot the C&D line because elimination challenges are terrifying. I don't think people understand. I can't remember anything I said in these things. I'm always surprised. I'm just like, oh, I don't remember any of this. Because it's just, you're so full of stress. You can't, just any words you say are just like, I don't even bother with these words. I'm just saying words because you're terrified. Trying to finish something really quick and these people are talking at you and God, what a mess.
Yeah, especially when you tell your potential former boss to go suck a dick.
Yeah.
So,
he took it well.
Yeah, he did.
I stayed in his house for the finale. That was fun.
The Last Halloween is actually based off of what you were working on for the making your own creative, the final challenge, essentially.
Indeed. And to be honest, I've been working on this for years. It was a project I had in the wings. In fact, right before I left for Strip Search, I did a teaser post that was just pretty much a drawing of the main character. And I took it down as soon as I got home because I was just like, I'm going to pretend that I just came up with this right now. So,
but you didn't actually make a whole, you didn't like pre-prep like a bunch of strips or whatever. I mean, because you kind of had an inkling that this might actually happen, you said.
Yeah, I had a lot, like, I pretty much had to rewrite the whole script because it got deleted last year sometime because I got a new computer and the old one just died. So the entire script was lost. So it pretty much was just built all in this time. Just because I knew the whole story doesn't mean I was any more prepared than
right.
anyone else.
I really liked, one of the things that I know the scriptures got, they struggled with was sort of deciding or trying to figure out how are they supposed to decide in some things. Especially since, you know, it's called Strip Search and they were clearly focusing on like strip and comedy versus like long form as much. And that was sort of a discussion that, commenters were having on this. I liked how when they asked you for your update schedule that you would be updating once a week in scenes and chunks. That's still the plan going forward when you're actually doing this, right?
Oh God, yes. I don't want to leave. I just reading comics and being in the middle of this really emotional scene and then just being cut off and then you have to go back to it tomorrow. It takes you out of the scene and it's awful. So I just want to have the whole range of emotion in that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll keep people coming back for sure.
So,
and people seem to think it's this really strange concept. And I don't know, like other comics have done this. Serials have done this. I don't know. I don't think it's that weird at all. I think it's great and awesome.
No, yeah. There are multiple ways to do updates. I've seen people that have like comic book style stuff and they'll update in seasons and then every couple of days with a page until it's done. And then they go away for several months and they come back. It's, you know, it's web comics. You can kind of do however you want. As long as people kind of know what the deal is, then they won't go away if they want it.
Web comics, you can just do whatever you want. It's like a lot of web comic artists, like just want to do serial, like, 3-panel strips because that's what they're used to. Just that's what we see in newspapers. That's what we see in comic books. We just see this stuff and, like, page formats that are all squished up into one page instead of just, like, however you want it to be laid out. So webcomics, you can really just do whatever the hell you want as long as you have a web designer who can help you with it.
Absolutely.
So
it might get a little bit if you ended up wanting to print it later, but
so I'll work it out.
I did want to ask because you came to the finale with a scene in the middle, and you said you had a bunch of stuff at home. How many completed scenes did you actually already have before you decided on one?
I had pages written. I didn't have them completed.
Oh, okay. I was unsure.
That didn't come across very well.
Okay.
I said I had 200 pages planned out. Is what it was.
Okay.
So now it's more than that. And I'm still doing edits on the final script, so it's going to be longer than I thought it was going to be, which is exciting.
You're a machine!
Yeah. So excited. And that's only the first part. Yay.
So,
I'm really excited about this project. The day I get to work, like the day I'm finished with everything I have to do before I actually start on the real pages, I'm probably going to cry. It's going to be great. I should take a picture of it.
And
put it on the Twitter. People will cry.
So you're already well on your way on your there you go, $61,090.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
22 days left to go. 1,471 backers, and at $95,000, you are planning to move to Seattle. All I can recommend is you do your research well as far as a Canadian moving into the US, because I can hear it can
I'm
be kind
American.
Of
American.
Oh, I thought you were a Canadian.
Nope, I'm moving back to the States. Yeah, see, this is something I really need to clarify. I hope a lot of people listen to this, because I get this question at least like 5, 8, a million times a day. Just, I am an American, and I moved to Canada to go to school. And now they're kicking me out, so I have to move somewhere.
Oh, they're kicking you out because you're not going to school? Is that why?
Yep. And Quebec won't let you be like a self-employed person, and shipping here is kind of ridiculous. And since shipping is such a big part of my job now, like shipping all these backer rewards is going to be nuts. If it's going to be hundreds of dollars if I like stay here to do it. So.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck on that then. It should be a lot easier then.
God, yes. I mean, it means I'll have to, I won't do as much paperwork as I usually do.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I've known some people that have moved, like Americans moved to Canada and tried to become, like, for, like, they get married, you know, and that's even still a big issue for some people that I've seen. So, yeah, so you got to one up on that. Best of luck on that, of course.
I'm so excited. So many people that I love live there.
Do you think you'll ever go back to school, or is this, or were you just kind of like going to school because this is kind of like the next sort of step, or did you actually really want to do something that you needed college for?
Well, what I really wanted to do was work with dead bodies because it would be extremely interesting. So, originally my plan going into school was to become a, what's it called? Fuck.
Mortician?
No, morticians are different. Kind of like a coroner, but coroners are actually elected. Medical examiner, that's it. The one who does the autopsies.
Right, right. Examiner.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do. But you have to go to medical school to do that.
Right.
And I'm not getting into medical school. I have terrible grades.
Aww.
And McGill, it's like, McGill is a hard school. It's like as hard, if not harder, than Harvard. And
wow,
I'm not that good at it. I failed chemistry once, and then I failed organic chemistry once, which was actually, I found that out when I got back from strip search. I checked it, and it was just like, oh, by the way, you failed organic chemistry. And it's like, welp, goodbye, school. Fuck off. I'm done with you. But I might go back someday. I mean, it's pretty much just that's the next step for people, is just go to university, figure that out, do that thing, get a degree, and then get a job. But for me, it's like I have a job.
Right. Now, so I mean, now you're self-employed. You're going to be at least self-employed for the next year with this whole thing. And there's a lot of cartoonists that did not go to college, and they are perfectly self-sustaining, or at least partially. And this is a real good leg up. But also want to say is, like, with your interest in dead bodies, that your some of your comic ideas make a little bit more sense now. Because you like dead bodies. Calling last Halloween, and there's these undead creatures that come on into it.
Indeed. There's monsters fucking everywhere. Monsters are the greatest. Yeah, yes. I love horror movies. I love spooky things. I have a bone collection back in the States. Oh, I finally get to get my bone collection back. You can't transport it over the border.
Oh!
But I can get it back in the States.
Damn it.
And someone emailed me. It was just like, hey, do you want a skull? I'm like, yes, I do. Thank you, fan. So, send me your skulls, guys. I'll collect them.
All right. You're clearly not somebody to mess with.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I just like dead bodies. I don't like making dead bodies, as far as I know. I mean, I'm young still.
I think it's time to go.
Oh.
All right. Well,
finally, we've got an interesting...
Yeah.
Well,
so that I think that is pretty much it, and I do want to thank you very much for your time and coming on this show. I didn't hear back from Maki, so psh.
Oh well.
So
probably has lots of emails or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna kick this. I'm gonna master this episode and get it out as soon as possible. And and this is great, actually. It's incredible about the amount of support that you've gotten. Clearly, you've incredibly built your fan base, and doing
into
any
me.
Yeah, and doing just incredibly, like, meeting your goal in less than a half an hour is incredible, especially going this far. So the best of luck in this, and we'll be watching for anticipation for the last Halloween when it comes out. Abby, thank you very much. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and the best of luck.
Thank you.